Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
Put yourself in this position. You wake up in the middle of the night. Right before you woke up, you had a dream, and there was a noise, and you couldn't quite make it out. But then the noise got progressively louder and louder until finally you awake. It's 2 or 3 a.m., and you realize the noise you had been hearing was the sound of a beeping alarm coming from your hallway. You detect the faintest smell of smoke, but then it gets stronger. You cough a little, and then you cough more. And you look under the door to your bedroom, and you see an orange glow. And in that moment, you realize your worst fears have come true, and your house is on fire. You only have a few seconds to decide what to grab and evacuate, and so what would you choose? Before you answer that question, think of this. In 2017, California had some of the worst wildfires that state had ever seen. Dozens and hundreds and even thousands of homes were lost. Lives were lost. And in many cases, the residents of those homes had only seconds to evacuate and choose something to save. One man, a musician, chose to save his violin. There was a woman who was to be married, and she grabbed her wedding dress. Still, another man died trying to save his pickup truck. What would you do in that position? A few years ago, there was a research group who asked 100 college students from America and 100 college students from Japan to write down on one side of a piece of paper all the decisions in life they want to make for themselves, and then on the other side of that same piece of paper, all the decisions they want someone else to make for them. And even though the two groups differed greatly in which decisions they wanted to claim as their own, each group filled up the paper. We have a lot of decisions to make in life. Everything from where you work to where you live to how many kids you'll have and the car you drive and the clothing you wear. We all have decisions. Perhaps the most important decision you will ever make in life is how you will live that life. And that's not an easy decision to make because we live in a world where the pressure to conform to the culture is intense, to say the least. We live in a world that would say disagreeing with someone can be considered hate speech. And according to university research, some have started to believe that words should be considered a form of physical violence. And in the midst of all of that, each person has to decide how they will live. And like I said, it's not an easy decision. And unfortunately, no one else can make it for you. And to add to the mix, what you decide will have eternal implications. Paul says in Romans 14, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. In Job 31, after suffering all the difficulties in life that Job suffered, he said, "I would give him an account of all my steps." Every single person will give an account of their life. That life, by the way, in 2018 will last on average 80 years. Now, at 17 years old, that seems like an eternity, but as we all soon realize, compared with eternity, it's only seconds. And so what would you do? What would you choose? How would you live? That's what our series in Daniel is all about. It's called Dare to Be Different, because as we go through this book together, we're going to see that Daniel faced many of the same issues we face today. Even though this story was written thousands of years ago, it could have been written in 2019. Daniel lived in a country that persecuted him for his faith. He lived in an area where the government didn't share his religion. Laws had been passed designed to make serving the Lord illegal. And in the midst of that, Daniel still chose to serve, and he suffered for it. He dealt with a nation where you could worship the king, but you could not pray to God. And yet, in the midst of that, Daniel chose to be different. He dared to be different for God. And so as we begin this series together, we're actually in the book of Romans, as I said, in Romans chapter 12, because Romans 12 gives us a highlight of the importance of living differently, of daring to be different for the Lord. And one of the first things we notice in our text this morning is that living differently is a choice. It's a decision. Notice what it says in Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Notice how, even though this is only two verses, six times Paul refers to the reader. Six times he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern the will of God. Six times he talks to the reader directly. And it drives home the point that living differently for God is your choice. That's your decision. That's your responsibility. And no one can do it for you. When God saved you and he drew you to himself, he didn't do it so you could become some automated robot. God wants people who wants him. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Living a life differently for God is an act of love. And so Paul says here in verse 1, which is your spiritual worship. Each and every person, regardless of religion, regardless of where they grew up, regardless of the country in which they live, regardless their skin color, their education, their family background, regardless anything else, every single person will have to make a decision what they will do with God in their life. Some people will follow him and love him. Other people will reject him. Some people will actively oppose him, but everyone has to decide. And Daniel had to decide. He had to make a choice between indulging in the world's pleasures and the world's luxuries or following a living God. You see, in the end, where we spend eternity is based on what we do with God in our life. It's a personal choice. The second thing we notice is daring to be different is a chance. In other words, it's an opportunity. Notice what Paul writes in verse 1. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We live in a world that would say, live for you. Do what makes you happy. I was reading an article online this past week that gave three tips on how to live a happier life. It said, one, compare yourself only to yourself because you are your only standard for success. Spend more time and more money on what makes you happy. And third, take action and make changes to create the life you want to live. And yet research after research shows that people who live that way are some of the most depressed people on earth. In fact, according to Psychology Today, one of the best ways to live a happier life, and I quote, is finding a purpose beyond oneself. When you make a choice to live differently for God, when you do what Paul said to do in 2 Corinthians 5, where he said, those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. When you live in the way that Jesus lived, when he said in John 6, that I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. When you do that, when you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, you have a chance to show the world what a relationship with God can do. Daniel had that chance, and Daniel took that chance. He had the opportunity to show what God meant to him. He refused to follow the world's path to depression, and instead he followed God's path to blessing. He dared to live different. Listen to how the book of Daniel starts. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them into the land of Shinar to the house of his God and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Asphanaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were able to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. It goes on to say in verse 8, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank." And because of that, Daniel stood out. Because he dared to be different, Daniel stood out. Because his life was a living sacrifice to the Lord, unlike anything the world had ever seen, he stood out. I have a question for you. When people look at your life, does it stand out? Is it obvious who you live for? You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Well, does your light shine in the world? When people look at how you treat others and how you behave in public, and if they walked into your home and they looked at how you were living your private life, would it be obvious that you're choosing to live as a living sacrifice? Daniel gave his life as a living sacrifice. He dared to be different. And here's the warning. When you do that, when you live differently, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, you will be treated differently. The world will hold you to a different standard, a higher standard. It will come down on you harder and for less than other people. Daniel faced the same double standard. Because he made this decision that he wouldn't eat the king's food and he wouldn't defile his body, because he lived differently for God, they put him to the test. And it even says in verse 11 of Daniel 1, "Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Test your servants for 10 days. And let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see.'" It wasn't enough to just be alive. It wasn't enough to be of noble blood. It wasn't enough to have understanding. It wasn't enough to be everything everyone else was. The moment Daniel said, "I'm living differently for God," he stood out. And he was held to a different standard. And you will be held to a different standard. "What do you mean you got a speeding ticket? Thought you were a Christian. Or did you hear about Sally and her fight with her husband? I thought they were Christian." That's how it will go in the world. You will be judged differently. You will be treated differently. That's the implication. But you also have a chance to make an impact. And to impact someone's life and to affect change in the world through your example. And that's exactly what happened with Daniel. He refused to eat the king's food. He refused to drink the king's wine. He was tested. And in verse 15 of Daniel 1, it says, "At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables." Daniel's example to live for God changed life in the palace. Never underestimate the power of a life lived differently for God. So daring to be different is a choice. It's a chance. It's an opportunity. Third, it's a challenge. Notice what Paul says in Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." I like how the Phillips paraphrase puts it. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Or literally in Greek, don't let the world affect your way of thinking. And that needs to be said because it can happen even when you don't know it. It's actually a psychological condition known as Stockholm Syndrome. when somebody who's been taken captive by somebody else starts to fall in love with the captor and see things the way the captor does. Back in 1973, one of the most famous incidents of Stockholm Syndrome happened when a woman by the name of Patty Hearst was kidnapped in California by this group of revolutionaries who called themselves the Symbionese Revolutionary Army, and really just a group of thugs who had robbed cars and hurt people and robbed banks and that kind of thing. But Patty Hearst was kidnapped by this group, and after 10 weeks, she fell in love with her abductors, helped them rob a bank, was arrested and convicted. When you're surrounded by a certain way of thinking for long enough, it has the potential to affect you. Our world has a certain way of thinking. In 2013, an Argentinian court ruled that an orangutan by the name of Sandra was a non-human person, and as a non-human person was entitled to all the rights and privileges and protections under the law as a human person. In 2016, it happened again. Argentina court, an Argentinian judge, ruled an ape by the name of Cecilia had the same rights as a person and therefore was ordered to be released from the zoo. It gets better. In 2014, right here in our very old U.S. of A., in Toledo, Ohio, a group of people started a petition. Just last week, it went before the voters, and it passed with more than a 60% majority vote that Lake Erie is now a person, and as a person can sue anyone who violates her waters. Also last week, a number of delegates in the U.S. Senate, including some from Ohio, voted that a baby born of a botched abortion is not entitled to the rights of a human person. That's our world's way of thinking. It's spiritual Stockholm Syndrome when the people trapped by the system of this world start embracing it. In Ephesians 2, Paul wrote this, "In which you once walked following the course of the world." That's why he tells Timothy, a young pastor, in 2 Timothy 2, "May God grant them repentance leading to knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil." Do you know what a better plan is than escape? Don't get trapped. Verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Don't let the world change the way you think. And it isn't just how we define personhood. It's everything to do with how we make decisions in life and what we assign value to in the world. We live in a world that says anything and everything for maximum pleasure, maximum human satisfaction. That's the goal. That's why the film industry makes $40 billion a year and schools have a hard time paying teachers. That's why TV shows filled with sex and violence and drugs get primetime slots, but shows featuring a family in prayer are too extreme to air. Everything is designed to feed the senses. You know, Eve dealt with the same struggle. It was in Genesis 3. You all know the story. She was told not to eat the fruit of this one tree, but it says in Genesis 3, when she saw it was good for food, it was delightful to look at, and it would make her wise, she took and she ate. John said it best in 1 John chapter 2, "For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father." Daniel dealt with that too. He was taken hostage by a king and housed in a palace. He was given the finest living quarters, the finest food, the finest wine, the finest teachers, a host of servants at his beck and call. And almost everyone else went for it except him and his three friends. Daniel wasn't alone. He was with a very small band of people who dared to live differently for God. He accepted that challenge. It says in verse 8 of Daniel 1, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. And because of that, Daniel was blessed." Because it goes on to say in verse 17, "As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." It says in verse 20, "And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom." So daring to live differently for God is a choice. It's a chance. It's a challenge to protect yourself from the influences of the world. And finally, as we close, it represents a fundamental change. Notice it says in verse 2 of Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." You know, we've been talking a lot about Daniel refusing to compromise, but one of the most defining events of Daniel's life actually comes a little bit later, when he interprets the king's dream. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he didn't understand it. And he called the philosophers and the sages and the advisors, and he called all of his theologians. He called the people who should know, and they didn't have a clue. It says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 10, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, 'There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean.'" This is a change. When you have a relationship with God, it changes the way you approach things. The world's wisdom is not complete. How true is that for everything? Did you know that even after thousands of years of study, after billions of live births, medical science has no idea what causes a woman to go into labor? They don't know what triggers that. They don't know what happens. They can do it themselves, an artificial labor with drugs and medicine, but they don't know what causes a woman's body to go into labor at the time it does. That's the problem with secular wisdom. It never fully explains the nature of life. It will never answer all of your questions. It will always leave more unanswered mysteries than those it's able to solve. And even the king's magicians understood that. Because in Daniel 2, where they say they have no idea, the very next verse it says, "The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods." It's a very similar thing to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2. "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they're foolishness, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned." And so it says here, don't let the world dictate how you think. Don't let it change how you think, but rather let God change your logic. Let God influence how you approach issues and problems and questions in life. And that happens when a person presents themselves as a living sacrifice. And when that happens, Paul goes on to say, "that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." That's what Daniel did. He went to the wisdom of the Lord. It says in Daniel 2, verse 26, "The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, 'Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?' Daniel answered the king and said, 'No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery.'" I have a question for you. How do you go about making decisions in your life? When you come to something that you've never been to before, what wisdom do you rely on? In James chapter 1, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given." That's why in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul says the natural person doesn't understand the things of God. But then he goes on to say the spiritual person judges all things, and that we have the mind of Christ. That's a different way of thinking. That's how Daniel was thinking. He had the mind of Christ. And it changed how he went about making decisions in his life. As we go through this series in Daniel together, I want to challenge you. I challenge you to dare to be strange in the eyes of the world. I challenge you to dare to be weird. I dare you to be odd. I dare you to be different for our Lord.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lighttheway.radio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lighttheway.radio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lighttheway.radio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Monger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.